Let's hear from our green and gold analyst, Paul Immig, now.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Schneider Orange Hotline, Paul Immig, my friend, and green and gold analyst here on the Bill Michaels Show. Paul, change in the air and some excitement. Again, I wouldn't say Packer fans are jumping for joy because this is not necessarily a good change. It means there are some issues. Your thoughts initially, let's get them out there.
Yeah, no, I think Packers, I might slightly disagree with your notion about the prevailing Packer fan thought process. No, Packers fans aren't happy with a coach firing because it means the team is terrible.
Right.
But as a result of the team being terrible, this seems like a 98% plus approval of what the Packers did yesterday in firing Mike McCarthy and not letting him play out the string of games. Maybe we just live in that harsh, reactive universe now where Twitter and social media prevails and then runs. But I think this is a situation where, you know, I realize there are percentage point possibilities of a Packer playoff appearance this year, but for all intents and purposes, this move wasn't made to try to sneak into the playoffs this year. This move was made because I think a few reasons. Number one, it lets the Packers and Mark Murphy, which is its own topic, why it's not Brian Gutekunst, but lets Mark Murphy get the coaching, not interviews necessarily, but just start to get to do that research and not kind of feel like you're doing it behind the back of your current guy. This might alleviate your conscience a little bit, give you a bit of a head start. You know, maybe there'd be a coaching candidate who would say, you're not really going to let McCarthy go at the end of the year. And now he's like, no, he's already gone. So I think it kind of lets you get a head start on that. You need to find out, and this is what I think is maybe the most valuable part of it, is Joe Philbin going to come in and completely revamp Mike McCarthy's offense? Is that even feasible and possible, given the fact that they're going to have like 8 hours of practice between now and next week's game? No, it's going to have to mostly be the same thing.
Yeah.
But is there going to be a couple wrinkles that will let Aaron Rodgers look like a good quarterback again? Yesterday, most of this year, he's not looked like, he certainly hasn't looked like a great quarterback. I think he's probably performed as a very league average, you know, 10th, 12th, 15th-ish best quarterback, which, you know, again, is good for some teams. And when you're the Packers, you're just not built to play that way. So will this create some spark in Rodgers' play? And I think it's worth taking that gamble because, again, I think there's very little to lose in letting McCarthy go right now. I think it's worth finding out, is Rodgers, you know, going to be motivated, refocused by a coaching change? And, of course, the big point of that will happen next year when it really matters. But is there something that can be found out over the last four games of this season to let you know whether or not this does refocus, remotivate, whatever, you know, word you want to choose for Rodgers? Because ultimately, this was a McCarthy or Rodgers decision, and obviously, 100 times out of 100, the answer to who to let go in that scenario is the coach, especially given the new all-time record contract that they gave to Rodgers. So I think it was going to happen eventually, so the fact that it happened yesterday, you know, it was just kind of confirming what we all thought would happen 4 weeks from now and just doing it now and, you know, not kind of playing out the string. So it's the right move. Whether or not it's the right move today or 4 weeks from now, I think is not really all that important of a conversation. I think it's just more about this was going to happen. This needed to happen. They need a new coach. And, you know, the next four games are pretty much a wash anyway.
You know, the power chain of command here that was changed in Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, Paul, as you know, last year with Mark Murphy taking, you know, full reign of all decisions, I just wonder –
yeah.
Brian Gutekunst, the GM, I wonder how deeply he was in this. I would assume way in there. And, you know, would he have done the same thing?
Well, I mean, this is a situation where, you know, Tim, you're filling in for Bill today. You come to Joe with the idea, and Joe says, I like the idea. That's what happened. Mark Murphy is the you in this scenario. It's the GM, Brian Gutekunst, was not the initiator of the conversation. He reportedly agreed with the directional strategy and said, yep, I'm with you, Mark. You know, this is the right decision to get rid of McCarthy. But it wasn't him going to Marwin. And, you know, I don't like it. I'm not a fan of the structure. It could ultimately work, you know, and that's all fine and good. But I think as you, you know, basically what's happening is Murphy is putting more and more of a of an owner's hat on. This is very, you know, Jerry Jones, Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland. It's one of those things where, you know, the guy at the top comes in and says, here's what I want to do, even though it's a football decision. So we, you know, we can certainly debate that aspect of it. But when Murphy goes to Gutekunst, sounds like the real like thing that came out of the wash with that is that Gutekunst, yep, I'm with you, let's do it now. And I just don't know if that's the right way or the wrong way. But ultimately, it's there's I think there's pros and cons of having the structure when it comes to this situation. You know, Gutekunst, is Murphy going to be more tenacious, aggressive, and do things in that way that you might see a lot of owners do? I can see there being pros and cons to that, whereas maybe Gutekunst would have let the run string out and play out and everything else. But it didn't take long for the new power structure to really show itself, because who was it, you know, that when they ended up not going with Russ Ball because McCarthy reportedly kind of said, hey, I don't want Russ Ball or I'll leave. And then they go with Gutekunst instead. And then Murphy redoes the power structure. Now it's Murphy who fires McCarthy. It's all very fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. And now you look at the replacement opportunities. And I know a lot of this conversation is going to happen here in the next 4 weeks, but Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the Patriots, Zach Taylor, the quarterback's coach for the Rams, incidentally, Mike Sherman's son-in-law, Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley, Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald. So there are some opportunities here. Where would you be leaning?
So I think I want to speak more broadly, because I think you can take each candidate in and of their self, or you can probably take the bigger picture. Let me start with the bigger picture, and that is, do you go more retread, has been an NFL head coach, or at least has been a high-ranking coach, like an offensive or defensive coordinator, someone who is presumably older than Aaron Rodgers, or do you go the, you know, what's often now referred to as the Sean McVay route, where you bring in the hotshot 32-year-old, 31-year-old, whatever the case might be, and say, hey, let's go from Jeff Fisher, a retread Jeff Fisher, and let's just bring in a totally new voice, a totally new scheme, something that's really inventive. Hey, it might work, it might not work. The difference, and first of all, I'll answer that question. I'll just say I would not go the retread route. I would actually, and I'd also, not that Josh McDaniels is totally like a retread, but this is the guy who has burned teams in the past after agreeing to go to them, and that's, you know, that's a risk. You better really love McDaniels if you're going to risk, you know, him changing his mind on you again. But the difference in, like, with bringing in McVay, who was younger than Rodgers but is much older than Jared Goff, this is a different situation. You have a now 35-year-old quarterback, and some of these young college coaches are going to be his age or maybe a little bit younger, who are really revamping the way that football in general looks at how to run an offense. And so I think that's a question for Murphy to ask Rodgers. Hey, if the guy we love is, you know, 2 years younger than you, do you see any reason why that can't work? Is there any sort of weirdness to that, Aaron? And I don't want Rodgers to be involved in this, but if you're going to have that thought in the back of your mind, you know, that if can that work? Can the head coach be younger than the quarterback, especially a quarterback who clearly needs someone to refocus and remotivate him? You know, I think that might be the one place where I'd be okay with Murphy and Gutekunst and saying, hey, Aaron, here's kind of the guy we're thinking of. I think he's going to be great. P.S., he's 32 years old. Are you okay with that?
That's the thing, though, Paul. Yeah. That's where the rub is that I think you have two different factions, if you will, of maybe it's a millennial versus old school kind of deal here. And you know, you have one side that says, hey, man, he's the employee. I mean, he shouldn't be consulted on who we want to hire. And then you have the other side that said, hey, why wouldn't you want to work with him? And if he's cool with it, if you know, at least check the pulse. You don't have to do it through the media. You can do it privately, and nobody else needs to know, the rest of the coaching staff or the players or the wideouts or anything like that. You just do it privately, personally with Aaron Rodgers, and you work with him. There's two different sides to that.
I think you get his opinion. I think you kind of come to him with some facts, and you kind of say, you know, here's some stuff we're looking at. And I think his opinion or his take on it should count for 1%, 2%, you know, of the overall decision. But that's when it's more of not like, hey, Aaron, we're looking at these five people. Can you write me a one-page report on each guy and what you think? I think it's more of like, hey, here's the guy we like. Is there any reason this will miff you? You know, and it's a dangerous territory. But again, Rodgers just turned 35. This is a, needless to say, pivotal moment in like where the Packers are going to go for the next 5 mm-hmm. years, how Rodgers is going to conclude his run as a starting quarterback
for sure.
in the league. So I don't know. I don't think anybody besides Aaron right now would know the answer to
because
you
I know, see
bringing
I see
in a 32-year-old.
Yeah, no, I see both sides of it, and I really do. I could see a side where Rodgers would be like, "Ooh, wow, an Andy Reid type." Just take that for example, Andy. Sure. Ooh, yeah. So yes, sir. And then the other side, I could see, yeah, man, I want to run and gun, and I want to play playground ball, and I want to throw 41 touchdowns, and I want to do this, that, and the other thing. I could see both sides of it.
One last quick thing I would say is that, you know, Rodgers is often, and this is an odd thing to say, but Rodgers is often criticized for being the smartest guy in the room or for, you know, purporting to be the smartest guy in the room. I can see the competitor in him, the intellectual in him, to be really stimulated by, oh, what if this new guy who's like 3 years my junior is going to like teach me something I didn't know, you know? And I can see that the intellectual competitive guy in him being stimulated by that thought process. That would ultimately work, TBD, but I think it's an interesting thought that he might kind of feel like, oh, cool, someone to really challenge me, some new young hotshot to really make me think about football in a different way. And I can see that in one version of this playing out nicely.
Yeah, this is just quite fascinating. Paul, always a pleasure. Bill, we'll talk to you on what, Wednesday?
Wednesday, yep.
All right, good deal. Have a great Monday,
thanks,
all right?
Buddy.
All right,
see you, buddy.
You got it. Paul Immig, Green and Gold analyst here on the Bill Michaels Show.
And he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.